Been flying solo for so long. Nobody's singing the harmony. Up there just me and my shadow. No bass, no guitar, no tambourine. And I found you like a melody. You were singing in the same key as me. We had them dancing in the streets. I don't wanna be a one man band. I don't wanna be a rolling stone alone, putting miles on a rundown van. Maybe we could take our own show on the road. I'll lay down the beat, you carry the tune. We'll get tattoos and we'll trash hotel rooms. Baby, take my hand. I don't wanna be a one man band. I wanna run down your wild dreams, and I wanna chase every high with you. Count every rip in these old jeans. We'll never learn how to sing the blues. If I'm gonna be famous, girl, I wanna be famous with you. We got our own little groove. I don't wanna be a one man band. I don't wanna be a rolling stone alone, putting miles on a rundown van. Maybe we could take our own show on the road. I'll lay down the beat, you carry the tune. We'll get tattoos and we'll trash hotel rooms. Baby, take my hand, 'cause I don't wanna be a one man band. When the spotlight goes cold, the curtains come down, chairs are all stacked and there's no one around, and nobody's paying. We'll still be playing. I don't wanna be a one man band. I don't wanna be a rolling stone alone, putting miles on a rundown van. Maybe we could take our own show on the road. I'll lay down the beat, you carry the tune. We'll get tattoos and we'll trash hotel rooms. Baby, take my hand, 'cause I don't wanna be a one man band. I don't wanna be a one man band.
Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country, 1430 AM Stereo, WRDN, Durand, Mondovi, Wabashaw, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President Trump says he ordered tariffs on goods from Canada, Mexico, and China because those countries need to do more to stop the flow of fentanyl into the U.S. But economists say the higher costs because of tariffs will be passed on to consumers. Michigan small business owner Linda Schlesinger-Wagner says,
I don't like what's going on, and I think people are going to be truly shocked at the pricing they're going to see on the cars, on the lumber, on the clothes, on the food. This is going to be a mess.
China's hinted at countermeasures. Canada's already announced retaliatory tariffs. The NTSB says it's interviewed all air traffic controllers who were on duty during Wednesday's mid-air collision between an American Airlines jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter. And if you believe Punxsutawney Phil, get ready for six more weeks of winter after the groundhog saw his shadow in front of thousands in his western Pennsylvania borough. This is ABC News. President Trump announced a show of U.S. military force in Africa, says ABC's Lama Hassan.
The strikes were coordinated with the Somali government. Now the president posting on Truth Social saying that the strikes destroyed the caves they live in, killing many terrorists and not harming any civilians. The U.S. going on the offensive using Air Force fighter jets and Navy fighters from the USS Harry S. Truman in the Red Sea.
Child advocates urging parents to keep a close eye on what their kids are doing online. Authorities in Michigan say a 29-year-old New York man connected with an 11-year-old girl on the popular game Roblox and coerced her into sending him nude photos. He's been arrested, but Michigan State Police cyber crimes detective Carly Petrago said there have been many more of these crimes in recent years.
They may be posing as somebody their own age that goes to the same school or a neighboring school, but in reality, it could be anybody behind the screen.
I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. And right now, you're going to pay for groceries. But you decide what groceries. Just keep in mind you're running out of dishwashing soap. But you decide if you're going to buy that soap. Just those dishes won't clean themselves, will they? Remember, with Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then, you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Lowe's knows how to help make your Super Bowl 59 party a touchdown. Let us help you prep your home to host with top brands like Charbroil, Blackstone, and LG, so you can be the MVP of game day. Plus, use the Lowe's app to find what you need for a seamless shopping run. Or huddle up with our Lowe's Red Vest associates to help make all your game time hosting decisions.
Since 1919, the area has trusted Real Funeral Home and Cremation Services to handle final arrangements in times of loss. Serving all faiths, Real's offers at-need services, pre-need services with insurance at a guaranteed rate of 3%, and monuments. Real's takes pride in their work and family history and handles complete arrangements for all traditional and memorial services, as well as cremations. Learn more about them at realfuneralhome.com or call them in Durant at 715-672-5691. Real Funeral Home and Cremation Services, offering you peace of mind during a difficult time.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Mostly cloudy, a northwest wind later in the afternoon with highs in the upper 40s. Snow likely tonight, 1 to 2 inches by morning as temperatures drop to the mid-20s. Morning still Monday, then mostly cloudy, upper 20s. Grandpa's barbecue sauce made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently 29 degrees.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Wow. drink. Well, that's one of many reasons why we drink. I'm Andrew J. with you, with Shania Twain and Any Man of Mine.
Still better love me, and I can be late for a date, that's fine, but you better be on time. Any man of mine will say it fits just right when last year's dress is just a little too tight, and anything I do will say that be okay when I have a bad hair day. And if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, I need a man who knows how the story goes. There's gotta be a heart beating fine, deep breath taking, earthquake and kind. Any man of mine. Well, any man of mine better disagree when I see another woman's looking better than me. And when I cook them dinner, like you better say, I like it like that, yeah. And if I change my mind a million times, I wanna hear him say, yeah. I need a man who knows how the story goes. There's gotta be a heart beating fine, deep breath taking, earthquake and kind. Any man of mine. Let me hear you say, yeah, yeah.
Music you grew up with. Real Country, 1430 AM at 107.3 FM, WRDN.
Girl, you cut those jeans just right. I know you didn't buy them like that, so baby, don't even try that. You like there ain't nobody watching, but girl, you know I'm watching. Don't lie, you got it all figured out. But that smile has got me spinning around. Don't even try acting like it ain't no thing, 'cause I can see you move a little closer.
close. So girl, I gotta get to know you, everything about you makes me want you, know what you're doing, baby, don't you, you've been looking over here all night, and when I look, you look away, oh, I love the little games you play, I bet. Brush my hand when you walk by me, like you didn't mean to drive me crazy. Don't lie, you got it all figured out. That smile has got me spinning around. Don't even try acting like it ain't no thing, 'cause I can see you move a little closer. So girl, I gotta get to know you, everything about you makes me want you, know what you're doing, baby, don't you, I wanna get out of here and let me show you how good it would feel to hold you, put your pretty little head on my shoulder, oh yeah, don't lie, you got it all figured out, that smile got me spinning. Closer, closer, girl, I gotta get to know you, everything about you makes me want you, know what you're doing, baby, don't you?
Thanks for listening to Real Country 1430. We knew you'd dig the bait.
I was all but 22, I think at the time. I'd been out on the road, lonely at night, and it'd been a while, so it was on my mind. Well, I saw him walk in with his cowboy hat, and I thought to myself, I could use some of that. His boots like glass on a sawdust floor had moves like nothing I'd ever seen before. So I walked right up and I pulled him to the side. I handed that man a beer, looked him in the eyes, and I said, baby, I think you're gonna wanna hear this. Then I told him, excuse me, you look like you love me, you look like you want me to want you to come on home. Baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room. I'm drunk and I'm ready to leave, and you look like you love me.
Well, I was down at a local beer joint with a few of the guys, and this cute little country girl caught my eye. And boy, let me tell you, she was the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in a pair of boots. Well, she walked right up to me, handed me a beer, gave me a look like, let's get out of here. And that's when I realized that she was every cowboy's dream come true. She told me this right here. She said,
excuse me, you look like you love me. You look like you want me to want you to come on home. And baby, I don't blame you for looking me up and down across this room. To yourself, I could use some of that. Don't waste your time. Just give him this here line. Goes a little like this.
Langley and Riley Green, and you look like you love me. And it's Andrew Jay, and you look like you're having a good time listening to me. I think so, at least. Stick around for you. Martina McBride's coming up.
Big or small, in town or in the country, Prime Realty of Durand can help you find exactly what you need. I'm Andy Pelkey from Prime Realty. When you visit us online at PrimeRealtyMidwest.com, you'll find properties all across Wisconsin, and you can contact us with questions. Have a property to sell? Listing with Prime Realty means that you're working with the area's number one home seller. Like Prime Realty guys on Facebook or visit us at PrimeRealtyMidwest.com. Prime Realty, making your dreams a reality.
Guys, don't make the mistake of waiting until the last minute to order your Valentine that special gift from the Cottage of Durand. Your special sweetheart deserves flowers, candy bouquets, jewelry, or stuffed animals from the Cottage. Order early and your gift will be delivered to your sweetheart on Valentine's Day. Not sure what to get? Missy and the staff can create a Valentine's gift she will truly enjoy. Don't get your someone special flowers from the gas station on Valentine's Day. Order that special gift from the Cottage downtown Durand.
For five generations, starting in 1883, Goodrich Funeral Home has been serving families in the area. The staff members of Goodrich Funeral Home will guide your family in creating a meaningful ceremony to honor the life and memory of a loved one. A ceremony can be anything you wish it to be, simple or elaborate, traditional or unique. No matter how it's tailored, such a ceremony is an important step in recovering from loss. Goodrich Funeral Home, our family serving your family for years to come.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Build your business with a partner you can trust. The Home Depot. When you join Pro Xtra, you get lower than shelf pricing and dedicated support to help you streamline your business and stay on budget. Get dedicated pro support for supply sourcing, custom orders, large equipment rentals, and more. At The Home Depot, we supply the support your job needs with the level of service your business deserves. The Home Depot. How pros get more done.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath. Fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go. But the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Real Country, 1430 AM and 107.3 FM.
Happy
just how my life is. That's how it goes.
Cowboys and good-hearted women. Real Country, 1430 AM at 107.3 FM. WRDN.
I am insensitive. I have a tendency to pay more attention to the things that I need. Sometimes I drink too much. Sometimes I test your trust. Sometimes I don't know why you stay with me. I'm hard to love, hard to love. Oh, I don't make it easy. Well, I couldn't do it if I stood where you stood. I'm hard to love, hard to love. I don't deserve it, but I love that you love me good. Yeah. I am a short fuse, I am a wrecking ball, crashing into your heart like I do. You're like a Sunday morning, full of grace and full of Jesus. I wish that I could be more like you. I'm hard to love, hard to love. No, I don't make it easy. Well, I couldn't do it if I stood where you stood. I'm hard to love, hard to love. You say that you need me. Well, I don't deserve it, but I love that you love me good. Love me. Couldn't do it if I stood where you stood. I'm hard to love, hard to love. You say that you need me. I don't deserve it, but I love that you love me. Don't make it easy. Well, I couldn't do it if I stood where you stood. I'm hard to love, hard to love. You say that you need me. Well, I don't deserve it, but I love.
It's 8:30. You're listening to Real Country 1430 AM and 107.3 FM WRDN. Time now for Strength for Today, a Bible teaching message and ministry from Pastor Doug Vick of the First Baptist Church of Durand.
Welcome to those that are listening via WRDN. We are coming to the teaching segment of our morning worship service here at First Baptist of Durand. And we are doing a book study on the letter of Paul to Titus. So if you have your Bible, take it and turn, please, to Titus chapter 2. Verses 11 through 15. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. We're going to do a little review from what we had the previous week, and then we're going to push ahead and finish this passage of Scripture. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 15. And I'm going to read the passage. If you have an open Bible, I'd invite you to follow along. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Heavenly Father, whenever the Word of God is opened and it is taught, when it is preached, when it is read, it provides an opportunity for you to speak individually to us. And so we pray now that through the Holy Spirit and as we read your Word, we might better understand the mind of God and the will of the Holy Spirit for our lives. We thank you for Christ Jesus who died on the cross to make all of this possible for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we had looked at the first 10 verses of Titus chapter 2, and there were specific instructions, if you'll recall, that the Apostle Paul had given Titus to pass on to believers in the churches of Crete. And again, our time frame is about 62 to 64 A.D. And there were instructions that were given to the aged men. There were instructions that were given to the senior women in those churches. Also, as well, how the young women were to behave. And then special instructions to the young men. And then last of all, instructions to servants, or actually to slaves. And we had said that slavery was very, very prominent at the age in which this was penned, first century. So anyway, I don't mean to be light here, but that is the backdrop for the passage that we've just looked at here. And these instructions that have been given to these five different age groups or classes of people, now we're looking at the foundation. Why should people who know the Lord live in the way that they have been instructed in verses 1 through 10? And that is found for us in verses 11 through 15. It's the grace of God. That is, when you found Christ as your Savior, you tasted the grace of God. When he came into your life and forgave your sins, you tasted the grace of God. When you opened the door and you said, yes, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to manage my life from now on. You were a recipient of the grace of God. And the Bible says your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Book of Revelation chapter 13. The Bible says that you have the gift of God, Romans 6:23, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 10, that it is the beginning of an abundant life here on earth, and it will go on ad infinitum into eternity. Now that grace, that unmerited favor, that help that God has given to us, forgiving our sins, giving us a new lease on life and helping us through every trial and problem we can ever face in this world, through the multiple promises in the Old Testament and the New Testament. That grace that we have received now instructs us. And the Bible tells us here that it teaches us three things in particular. Number one, it teaches us how to live. And first of all, it teaches us that there are certain things that we need to deny. And then it also teaches us that there are certain things that we need to pursue. So let's take a look at this. First of all, it says in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Now, there are some people, when they hear how God is so willing to forgive their sins, they think that it's cheap grace, and they think that they have not much respect for the great pardon that God extends to people who take his promise of life through his son seriously. So they think, well, I can just say that I know the Lord, or I've believed on him, or I have been baptized, or I'm a church member, and then I can just go on and live any way I want because it's all of grace, right? But the Apostle Paul addressed that issue in Romans chapter 6. He said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" God forbid, he said. Absolutely not. If you've really tasted the grace of God, if you've really connected with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, if you've really experienced the new birth, you're not going to live the same old life that you used to live. You know, before we came to Christ, we used to run to sin. But now that we know Christ, we flee from sin. And so the Bible tells us that we are to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, and we are to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. There are things that we are to deny, and there are things that we are to pursue. And ungodliness is that which is not of God. Those things that contradict the Word of God. Those things that cause us to violate our conscience. And the Bible tells us here that this grace has appeared. And then that verb appeared, very interesting. It's epiphanao. And it means to make clear. It means to be made manifest. And it says central meaning is to appear suddenly. And our English word epiphany comes from it. And we use that word epiphany to describe something we intuitively understand. Or we use the word epiphany to describe a flash of insight that we have. The Greek Orthodox Church and other churches celebrate January 6th as Epiphany Sunday. That's the day they believe that Christ was revealed to the three wise men when they found him in Bethlehem. But if you have met the Lord, as Paul did in Acts chapter 9 on the Damascus Road, you've had an epiphany. You've had a spiritual epiphany. Jesus Christ has, through the Holy Spirit, revealed himself to you, and you have found life through his name. "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." A verse that I just previously quoted right here. So, we are very fortunate and we are very blessed to have God reveal himself to us. He's not some distant being light years away, but he now resides in those that have taken him as Savior. The Bible says in the book of Colossians, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." You can have God travel with you 24/7. 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because he's promised. He said, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." Jesus said that to his disciples before he left this planet. What a precious, wonderful truth. Now, we are to deny ungodliness. And that word deny means to say no to. It means to negate. It means to contradict. It means to reject. It means to refuse. It means to disavow. It means to renounce. And so the new birth makes a difference in the way we live. And, you know, it was the Apostle John that wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Oh, God makes it abundantly clear that when we receive a new nature, when we receive a new life from him and his Son, Jesus Christ, we have new values. And that is our goal to pursue throughout this rest of the time that God gives us here on this planet. You know, we don't love the world because it takes away our love for God. We don't love the world because the world promotes what God opposes. We don't love the world because it's temporary. The Bible says it is passing away. Why invest our time and money and talents in that which does not last? Invest it in the cause of Jesus Christ. And the scripture tells us here that grace teaches us how to live negatively and then positively. It says here soberly. And that has the idea of restraint, which governs the passions and the desires. Restraint that enables a believer to be conformed to the image of Christ. It not only means to abstain from intoxicants, but it means don't be intoxicated by the culture of this world. Now, so we have this grace that teaches us how to live. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, before we move on to another verse here, it says, this grace hath appeared to all men. And by that, it doesn't mean that everyone in the first century had heard the gospel, and it doesn't mean that everyone now in the 21st century has heard the gospel, but it means that Jew and Gentile have heard the gospel. And it means that all kinds of people from different walks of life have heard the gospel, but the gospel has not yet been presented to every single individual. Now, that grace teaches us how to live, negatively, positively. Second of all, that grace tells us what to expect. What to expect. And the Bible tells us here in verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are to expect our Savior's arrival. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, before he left and went to the cross, he told his disciples in John chapter 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, ye believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself." You see, Jesus promised before he left this life that he would come again for his own. And that's called the blessed hope. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it's known as the rapture of the church. Just as many, many prophecies in the Old Testament foretold the first coming of Jesus Christ, there are many prophecies in the New Testament that likewise fulfill and foretold his second coming, and that will happen at any moment. It's an imminent return, Bible theologians tell us. Now, it's called a blessed hope, and that word blessed is an adjective. It means makarios in the original, and it means supremely well off. It means exceedingly happy. It means to be favored exceedingly. And it's used 9 times in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. You remember where Jesus used it? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted. So Jesus, his coming is something that creates within us a great deal of anticipation. That is positive, 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 positive. Let me ask ourselves here, why is he called our blessed hope? Well, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4, that fightings and wars will cease when Jesus comes and sets up his kingdom here on earth. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20 that Satan will be banished from the face of this planet and cast into a bottomless pit for 1,000 years when Jesus returns. And the Bible tells us in Isaiah 65, verse 25, that the predatory instincts of animals will disappear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The Bible tells us that these animals, which were once enemies, will now be counted as friends. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We'll have a brand new body when we see Christ. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, says, when we see Jesus face to face, we will become like him. So he is indeed our blessed hope. There's an anticipation that we relish and we desire because we know that he's coming for us. And the first time we met him and we invited him into our life, oh, what joy, what joy, what joy. But that joy is going to be superseded when we actually see his second coming. And that is going to be wonderful. So that grace tells us what to expect. We don't dread the thought of death. We don't dread the thought of God coming. Why? Because our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven. Years ago, I had a severe fear of death. I did not know God. And I had met God after going through that period of fear. And I found that fear began to leave as Jesus Christ was in my life. But the reason I was afraid to die is because I was not just afraid of death, but I was afraid of what follows death. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. What I was afraid of was the judgment, that guilt that I had because of all of my sins. But you know what? When Christ comes into our life, he forgives our sins. And when he forgives our sins, he removes that guilt. And when that guilt is gone, guess what? The fear of punishment is gone. Because we're going to meet the Lord not as our judge, but we will meet him as our Savior. So the scripture tells us plainly here that we are to look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on here. That grace, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, as we go on here, the third thing that this grace teaches us, this new birth, Jesus Christ, who is the epitome of grace. The Bible says the law was given by Moses in John chapter 1, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And that's how we are able to obtain God's favor. It is through his one-time finished sacrifice on the cross for our sins. So that grace teaches us how to live negatively. That grace teaches us how to live positive, soberly, righteously, and godly. And that grace tells us what to expect. That is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Incidentally, this is a verse right here, verse 13, that is a proof text for the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus was not just a good man. He wasn't just a prophet. He was God. And we see that right here. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. And that great God is Jesus Christ. And it is enunciated, detailed, explained to us with the latter phrase, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. My friend, Jesus Christ is God, and you must believe that he is God who has come into flesh in order to be saved, in order to know him. And if you deny his deity, that he is God, you have no salvation. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said to those that had opposed him, the Sadducees and Pharisees. He says, unless you believe that I am, he said, you shall perish in your sins. And he was using that Old Testament word, I am, Jehovah, to say that he was God. And unless they accepted him and believed that he was God in the flesh, he said, they would die in their sins. So this grace teaches us how to live. This grace tells us what to expect. But not only that, that grace tells us or reminds us why he came. Why he came. And that's spelled out for us right here in verse 14 of our text. It says, of this great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, verse 14 says, who gave himself for us. Like that pronoun there, himself. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send Gabriel. He didn't send Michael to die on the cross for our sins. No, he volunteered his own life before his own Father. And he gave himself for us. We talk about having a personal relationship with God because Jesus Christ personally died on the cross for our sins. Because Jesus Christ personally loves us and he cares intensely for each of us. And he demonstrated that by dying on the cross. Please don't go through life believing the devil's lie. God hates me, or God doesn't know me, or God doesn't love me. That is a lie from the pit of heaven. Jesus Christ gave himself for you, my friend. And the Bible says in John chapter 13, greater love hath no man than this, than that he gave his life for his friends. And Jesus Christ gave his life for the world, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now that word redeem in the original is lutrao, and it means to obtain release by the payment of a price. Lutrao. And it would be used to describe someone who would visit a slave market in one of those Roman towns and buy a slave. And what he would do is he would redeem, he would purchase or ransom that person who has been sold into slavery. And we are slaves of sin, the Bible tells us. Romans chapter 7, Romans chapter 6. We have habits. We try to turn over a new leaf. We can't do it. We can't stick to the resolutions that we make. We are slaves of sin. I'll just be real frank with you. That is who we are before we meet Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to free us from the slavery of sin. There's we're slaves to the penalty of sin. And the Bible says there is a penalty. It says, for the wages of sin is death. And the scripture defines that death. It says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, and whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. That's exactly what that text says. Revelation chapter 20, verse 15. We're a slave to the penalty for our sin. God told Adam and Eve, the day that thou eatest thereof, that is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that they would die. They died spiritually. And then some 800 years, 900 years later, they died physically. But their relationship with God was instantaneous when it was severed through their sin. And there's a penalty for sin, a very, very stiff penalty for sin. And that's why Jesus Christ came. He bore the wrath of God, because when sin has been committed, sin must be punished. And Jesus said, Father, instead of punishing Doug for his sins, instead of punishing Sue for her sins, instead of punishing Tim for his sins, look at my death on the cross as a payment for their sins. For I know that the wages of sin is death. And so that's what Jesus did. He paid the ultimate price with his own blood, the currency that God the Father would accept, to justify the righteousness of the Father, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now, there's not one sin he cannot redeem us from. There's not one sin that he cannot free us from. So, his death on the cross was first of all to remove that penalty that we owed God. And he has given us life in place of his death. Second of all, it says here he came to purify unto himself a peculiar people. You know, the cross has a dual effect. Number one, salvation from the penalty of sin. Number two, sanctification. And that is being made like Christ. And it's spelled out for us right here. And purify unto himself a peculiar people. A catharsis is a cleansing. That's what that word purify comes from in the original language here. He cleanses us. He cleanses us through his blood, praise God. And for himself, and the scripture tells us here, that he makes us his own people. That is, we become a peculiar people. Yeah, we're different now since we come to the Lord. Yeah, you know, I never read my Bible hardly at all before I met Christ as a 20-year-old. But after Christ entered my life, the author of the book, the Bible, the Word of God, all 66 books in that, under one cover. I started to read that book, and I started to devour it, and what a blessing it was. And someone said to me, Doug, you know why that book means so much to you now? And I said, well, no. He said, well, it's because you now know the author. And my friend, when you know Christ as your Savior, you know the author, and you sit down and you begin to read this book, and it begins to make sense to you because the author begins to explain it to you. So that grace reminds us why he came. He came to redeem us from all iniquity. Second of all, he came to purify us for himself. And then third, he came to claim us as his own people. As his own people. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, his own people, and they are zealous of good works. Why? Because that's what God wants us to do after we are saved. Now, good works will not get us into heaven. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible makes it abundantly clear. That all our good deeds cannot pay for our sins. The only thing that pays for our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we ask him to come into our life, his blood is applied to our heart, and we receive forgiveness of sins. And then, we want to perform good works, not to get to heaven, but out of gratitude for the gift that he has given to us, and that is heaven itself. So you could call this passage of scripture the school of grace. The grace of God that brings us salvation teaches us, number one, how to live. Teaches us, number two, what to expect. And it teaches us, again, or reminds us, of why he came. To redeem us, to purify us, and to claim us as his own. Now, Paul finishes this passage to Titus, and he says, Titus, in verse 15, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. In other words, these words right here, Titus, as you go into these different churches in Crete, you explain to them without apology what God's plan and God's will is for each believer, as I have outlined it for you in these verses. Don't be embarrassed. Stand up for the truth and let it be known, and don't back down. And he says here, let no man despise thee. Let no man intimidate you. Why? Because these are the very words of God himself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace of God that has appeared through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we know that he's calling people to himself even today. And we pray, Father, that those that are listening would listen to that still small voice which summons them into a relationship with you. And for those that already have that relationship, I pray that you would help them, Lord, to live this way and to expect your Son and never forget why He came to redeem us, to purify us, and to claim us as our own. Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.